This is Rage, Radio Against Global Ecocide, radio that fights oppression. Today on the show, Aloha Sarah Martinez and some of the folks from Deep Green Resistance Great Plains. Music by Savage Family and Resident Antihero. This is Rage, building a community of resistance, one podcast at a time. Hello and welcome to Rage, Radio Against Global Ecocide, coming to you from occupied Amiskwisi, Wisconsin. I am your host, Seymour Life. Today on the show, Lakota activist Aloha Sarah Martinez, one of the main organizers of the March for Justice 2012. I started by asking her about the town of White Clay.
It's been infecting our nation for 109 years, I think it is now. It was created as a buffer zone to keep alcohol out of the reservation, but you know, really it was created for trading and it became White Clay. So we've been suffering with this for 109 years, and that's just countless generations of misery, oppression. About 13 years ago, a couple of Lakota men who didn't really know each other, they were found just outside of White Clay on the South Dakota side of the border. And a hatchet was used on both of them, and they were killed. They were murdered. And so for years, there was a lot of rumors about the murderers, who it was. And it's still an unsolved murder to this day, both of them. And they're not counting the numerous alcohol-related deaths up there due to drunk driving, domestic violence. It's all happened there. So for 13 years, the Oglala Sioux Tribe has had the March for Justice. The relatives, you know, of Ron Hardhart and Wally Blackout, they seek justice for the unsolved murders. And it's just another aspect of oppression here. Personally, I think there has to be something else going on. You know, my question is what kind of payoff is our tribe getting for allowing this genocidal hole to exist for so long? You know, those are starting to become my questions. And I love my nation. I don't want to believe that our so-called leadership is purposely doing this to us, you know. This year, we're hoping to make the message loud and clear that there will be no more alcohol sales in White Clay, Nebraska. You know, we're not there to preach violence. We don't want anything bad to happen, but we ain't expecting peace either. Every week here, there's stories of rape, you know, suicide. It could just go on, and it happens in every neighborhood, not just here. But the issue here is a purposely done act of genocide, and that's White Clay, Nebraska's existence. I hate to feel that way about it, but what else can be said, you know? Four liquor stores, you know, who are, I doubt there's that much farmers, ranch families out there who consume just as much as we do.
How big is the town of White Clay? And you said there's four liquor stores. So how many people actually, quote, live in White Clay as a town?
Who actually live there? Probably be under 15, 20
wow.
people,
yeah.
You know? But there's maybe 10 houses, building structures. Probably 3-4 of those are abandoned, 2 grocery stores, 3 liquor stores, and a little restaurant. And, you know, there's an auto dealership there, but there's only cars in there on the first of the month. Like I said, the 4 liquor stores, there's a post office there. You know, so they're trying to give the illusion of a community. But there's no such thing as a community built on alcoholic Lakotas just wandering around.
Basically, what are the demands of what you're going to be asking for when you're doing the walk? This is a walk in memory, if I understand it correct.
Yes. It's also a memorial walk. You know, like I said, it's the 13th year. You know, so Wally and Ron, their murder is unsolved. There's unsolved murders along that stretch of Two-Mile Road. I have a grandfather, Francis Thunderhawk, who was found hanging off a barbed wire fence there. There's just, the stories are just nonstop. They're nonstop about everything. You know, I just had recently someone threw the question at me about, who are you to do this? Or who are you to say this? I'm a survivor of every single abuse that came out of White Clay, Nebraska. I hate the place. And I'll be damned if it's going to exist when my daughter's my age. My daughter's 6 now. You know, and it's just not going to happen.
You're marching, you're actually to ask to have the liquor stores and the town itself closed down?
Not the town itself. This is our plan, is we're going to let these bars know you're not going to sell alcohol here anymore. But we're not telling you to get out either. We're asking you to change your business type and stay, live. But you cannot live off the lives of our relatives anymore. No. So now it comes down to, you know, human rights, civil rights, you know, everything. This place is just, it's evil. And a lot of the bar owners are all generational. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't doubt if some of them date back 109 years. You know what I mean? So it's nothing personal. You know, I want to stress that. That is, it's nothing personal from the half Lakota, half Washichu kids that came from relationship from these bar owners, these families. It's nothing personal against anybody except for the alcohol stores, the liquor stores. If you want to take it personal, go for it. Because I'm taking it personal, too, hearing the stories of molestations from drunk men, relatives. Like I said, those stories are countless. They're just nonstop. So if they want to take it personal, go for it. They can. Because we're taking it personal now, too. And we're very fortunate to have supporters from all over Turtle Island, all races coming together to support all tribes, you know. All people of the earth is what it is. I really support the lawsuit. I'll never say that I don't support that issue, because there is some restitution that White Clay can give. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that can change. Just why a liquor store? Why not a laundromat? Why not a movie theater? You know, people would come for miles to use one of those. You know, something useful for not just us, but for everybody. Because there are non-Native families on the other side of the border of South Dakota. You know, those are our neighbors, whether they like it or not. You know, they're all squatting. So, you know, they better learn how to get along. The leadership role that Tugashula has put me on, people come to me now with their issues of hurt, of oppression, everything, the weight, their weight that they carry, they share with me. And it's heavy, it is. It's heavy.
Now, for people who have listened to this and they want to support you and the issue around White Clay, how can they do that? What can they do to support?
Well, prayers, of course, good energy, and bodies, come support. You know, if you're close enough, come and march with us, because it's just not a Lakota issue. It's a humanity issue. It just needs to be addressed. And even from within my own people, my own relatives, there's resistance and, oh, I don't want to get involved, and, oh, it'll never go away, and, oh, they tried and tried and tried, and it's still there. You know, we just have to keep trying differently until it's finally accomplished. So, you know, I just, I'm really grateful for, you know, the support that's been shown. And we're grateful, you know, we're grateful for that. It'll be on June 9th. There'll be a rally in Pine Ridge at the Billy Mills Hall, probably around 10, 11. And then the walkers will start walking at noon into White Clay. And those that are walking to support their relatives and everything, you know, don't be afraid. I guess don't be afraid. And like I said, no one's there to start trouble. No one's there to instigate anything. But everyone is there who wants change. So, you know, I guess I just want to stress that for just people to be strong mentally, it's all mental too. You got to have faith within, you know. So I just, if you want to support, come. If you want to support in other ways, contact myself or TR. Myself personally, Facebook is the best option right now. Like I said, June 9th, 12 o'clock, we'll march on White Clay.
I asked some of the folks of Deep Green Resistance Great Plains why they felt it was important to be present at this march. You'll hear in order Alex, Nate, Jessica, and TR.
DGR is involved because for too long, among other reasons, settler society has been marching across this and other continents, obliterating the indigenous cultures that have been here and stealing their land. And for those of us that care about life on Earth, that care about justice, we need to stand in solidarity those who are fighting for their traditional lives, for their traditional cultures, and for their traditional lands. And being in solidarity for those of us coming from backgrounds of privilege means that we need to be on the front lines, because it's those communities and those cultures that have been on the front lines for centuries. We have a responsibility to put ourselves there as well, and not just to sit behind and update our statuses on Facebook saying, you know, I stand with whoever. Real solidarity is about more than that.
I think that DGR should be involved. A lot of the people should support indigenous struggles. I mean, this particular circumstance, you're dealing with White Clay, where they sell alcohol every day. You know, they make millions of dollars. And when people talk about it, whenever anybody in leadership in Nebraska, any of the Nebraska government officials or any of the business people are asked about it or questioned about why this place exists, they try to put the problem back on the people that live there. Like they, all these people that they're making all their money off of, the people that live in Pine Ridge, and there's nothing else around there. There's no one else for them to sell all that liquor to. They try to put the responsibility back on them, and they say personal responsibility. They say, oh, well, it's supply and demand. But they don't have any responsibility for what they do. They have no responsibility for the community. They don't give anything back, and all they do is profit from the misery. They say free enterprise, but if someone comes to your community and they're supplying your community with an addictive substance and they're making millions of dollars, they're not going to say free enterprise. They're going to say shut them down. And the people that live around there, they say, well, this is our way of life. They know that their way of life depends on keeping the Lakota people there subdued. It's a chemical weapon. It's a classic tool that oppressors have been using for centuries to keep populations subdued, because they had the audacity to resist. And so they do the same thing everywhere they go. So it's just another manifestation in that. The people that sell liquor and White Clay are no different than the people that supply heroin and crack to the inner cities all over the United States. That's what I got to say about free enterprise and personal responsibility. I say fuck free enterprise. Mm-hmm. And personal responsibility, let them have some responsibility for what they're doing, and let them be held accountable for what they're doing.
If we are serious, we are really serious about building a resistance movement, a real resistance movement to stop the death and destruction that is inherent in this culture, we cannot do that without standing with and fighting with all oppressed people. We have to stand with indigenous people. One, the moral and ethical imperative, the genocide of the people and culture hasn't ended. It has not ended, and we have an ethical responsibility to fight and stand
and prevent this culture, this toxic, you know, we all have to stand and fight together. The violence of this culture of civilization, I mean, this is, it's nothing new to them. It's a lived experience of everyday life dealing with that oppression. There are a lot of groups that do a lot of lip service and talk. Oh, yes, we need to reach out to people of color, indigenous people. Well, we recognize the privilege we have as living and being a part of settler culture, but far too often that's not backed up with real action, really standing and fighting with indigenous people. We want to build a real resistance movement, not just do lip service to that.
The reason it's important for DGR to get to stand with indigenous cultures when it comes to struggles like white clay and other forms of oppression, you know, maybe other groups don't see this as such a big deal or such a big action to be taken on, but I think we really need, as a movement, DGR needs to be with our bodies on the front lines and to really show, you know, those indigenous people that we're here, we're going to be here for you, we're not going anywhere, we're going to do everything we can to help you against the oppression of our culture. I think as a movement, we also need to start seeing, I would say this as the whole environmental movement, needs to start seeing the struggles that, you know, of rape and pillage of Mother Earth as the same as the rape and pillage of indigenous cultures and the rape and pillage of our brothers and sisters of feather and fur. It's all the same. And so it doesn't matter, you know, who or where, wherever this culture is destroying life, that's where DGR as a movement needs to be. Indigenous Solidarity Guidelines, the first one, we'd like to say that first and foremost, we must recognize that as non-Indigenous people, we are occupying stolen land in an ongoing genocide that has lasted for centuries. We must affirm our responsibility to stand with Indigenous communities who want support and give everything we can to protect their land and culture from further devastation. They have been on the front lines of biocide and genocide for centuries, and as allies, we need to step up and join them. I think that really does a good job of leading into the other nine. So often, the environmental movement has stayed on the sidelines. You know, they might send some money for food here and there, or do other things, you know, hit like on Facebook and support Indigenous peoples. But I think really, to really be good allies with the Indigenous peoples all over the world, we really need to join them on the front lines. There's no other way to say it. We, Olowa, likes to say we have a lot of talkers, but not a lot of walkers when it comes to allies. If we want to be successful, we really need to start walking. The second guideline we have is we are doing Indigenous solidarity work not out of guilt, but out of a fierce desire to confront oppressive and colonial systems of power. You have to have your whole heart in something when you're doing it, and you can't be doing it out of some kind of guilt or shame that you feel that, you know, that your ancestors committed. And I think that sometimes activists and activist groups use that as a cop-out to not help. And once again, if we are going to be against all oppression, the oppression of the earth, of our brothers and sisters of feather and fur, indigenous peoples, we have to confront these systems of power. We have to have a whole analysis of the system and the problem, and then the problems that we face. The third guideline is we are not helping or saving indigenous people. We are here to join with and fight alongside indigenous peoples against these systems of power. We must be willing to put our bodies on the line. With this one here, I've already kind of said what needs to be said. You know, the best thing you can do, you know, with indigenous solidarity work these days is to put your body on the front line. Is to find allies and work with them and put your body on the front line. That's it. I think it's important too with number four. It says we must recognize our privileges as a member of settler culture. Too many times, I don't know how many activist meetings I've been to where the privilege is not checked at the front door when it comes to deciding how we're going to act and who we're going to fight for.
I continue my conversation with Olowa, asking her about allied support.
Yes. Well, I guess I would say from any allies coming in is that just, you know, always to stand strong within yourself, because there's no outer battle that could be won if the inner battle hasn't been won. You know what I mean? So you got to be strong within in order to be strong facing anything on the outside. So for my allies, I just ask for a strong heart and to remember that not all ceremonies are for allies either. You know, there's a lot of controversy going on right now within our own homeland here because of the exploitation of our traditional ceremonies, which were given to the Lakota by the white buffalo calf woman herself. So, you know, we hold those teachings very, very close to heart. And so I guess from I would ask for our non-native supporters and allies is just not to be so eager to be a part of the ceremonies because we're taking a really big step in putting things back the way they should have been when they were first given to us. And so, you know, we got to police ourselves also before we could police anyone else, you know, because there's a lot of people out there performing Lakota ceremonies all across Turtle Island for profit. You know, so we're trying to take things, care of things here within the homeland, you know. So I guess just to have respect for our ceremonies also and just have the understanding that you can't be a part of all of them. But just always know that we do pray for, you know, what I do. I pray for all mankind, all who walk upon the earth and know that there's a connection. Everyone, all of us have it. We have to have that understanding that we are related to everything, you know, because we can't exist without nature, you know, without anything like that, you know. So just a lot of other ways, like I said before, prayers and, you know, your bodies and just taking an active voice against any kind of abuse of any indigenous people, not just us here, you know, because, I guess I would just also encourage always to heal within for anyone and everyone who might hear these words. So just stand strong within and remember we are all related. And by that I mean to everything that lives, that's including the earth and the water and everything that flies, crawls. You know, it's just not the human race. We have many other relatives in different forms. So to always just remember earth should come first. My ultimate goal is for my daughter not to have to see her relatives laying around on the side of these buildings, to see her relatives with no hope and complete despair. You know, those are my long-term hopes and dreams from this march. Not just an annual show for people to come join, an actual change for people to come help. You know, it's bigger than just a yearly thing. And I want to stress that the murderer for Wally and Ron has never been prosecuted. There were rumors of him being on Nebraska police force. Just today we saw the Nebraska state trooper driving around on the reservation. You know, and that's not supposed to be happening, you know, unless he's here on official business. So we followed him around, kept the eye on him, you know, until he went back to the Nebraska side. You know, so we're paying attention about what's going on here in our homeland. So my long-term dream for this is for so many aspects of oppression to be lifted, to go away. And if I can use my mind, my body, and my spirit to do that, then I will. Because, you know, one day I'll have grandchildren. You know, my son, he's 20. And my daughter, she's 11, and my baby, she's 6. You know, so everything I do is never for me and myself, nothing personal. It's for my grandchildren because I want them to be able to look back on, you know, their generations. My family tree goes back so far from on my mother's side. You know, it's just 8, 9 generations back, and it gave me a real good, strong sense of my roots to this earth, because guaranteed some of those names could be traced back to creation. We're all related, like I said, so it's not just my kids that I fight for either. I have nieces and nephews, and I have those nieces and nephews who have children, so I'm a grandmother already, you know, from nieces and nephews who've had kids, and I want things to be better for them, but I know that it might be hard getting things to change. You know, our biggest thing right now is lateral oppression, you know, lateral violence, lateral everything. We're just trying to tear each other apart. So I always stress to my relatives when I go around and visit with them about the white clay issue is to remember that every single one of us here is affected by it. No one cannot say they're not affected by white clay, because we all have relatives who come staggering home, staggering by, die innocently, you know, in drunk driving accidents. It's just nonstop. It's just like I said before, it could go on and on, the stories of white clay, the abuses, the misery, everything. And the sad thing is there's white clays all over Turtle Island. All over, even in the ghettos, in the urban areas, in the cities, there's white clays because the white man doesn't want the indigenous to snap out of it. They need to keep us drunk and intoxicated so we won't find ourselves and our true path, which is living among the earth. You know, I always say, when I say, I catch myself, I grew up with a very racist Lakota mother. Who was a survivor of boarding schools and all their abuses. So I know those abuses, also that part of oppression that they tried to shove down our throats. I know the horror stories of my Ina, you know, and that's never ending. That's nonstop, those stories. It's coming at us from all angles, and it's got to stop somewhere.
When you talk about this, the white clays being everywhere, why don't you think there's been more actions like yours then? Is it because of the oppression, because of the, as you called it, the lateral fighting, or something else?
It's oppression, colonization. That's what it is. We've been trained so well to just take it. We've been trained so well to just sit there and shut up and just stick with the drunken Indian role. It's been forced on us for generations. White clays existed for 109 years. 109 years of the drunken Indian role being shoved upon us. That's what it is. 109 years. It pisses me off when I think about it. That's why my anger wants me to lash out at our tribal representatives. What are you taking under the table so you're not doing anything about this? You know, we have a high suicide rate. Guaranteed the majority of the suicides were drunks. They were drinking. All the rapes, the incest, the molestations. A spiritual leader, one that I really respect, he said it this way. He said, when you get drunk, it puts your consciousness to sleep, and the only things that remain are the desire for sex and food. So you got zombies, run, you know, just, it's exactly what it is. I hate it. It's a weapon, you know, like Nate said before. It's being used. It's purposely being used. And they're trying to play it off like, oh, you know, they can't control themselves. You know, it's hereditary. BS. Your ignorance and their greed is hereditary. And they passed it on to us. It's like a sick disease. All of it. And luckily there's some of us in 1973 and before, the late 60s, the takeover of Alcatraz, Mount Rushmore, all these other events that happened, all to Wounded Knee, the Wounded Knee occupation, it was awakening. But by then we're so colonized, now there's 50 plus Sundances here within the homeland. Our own relatives exploiting our own way of life. It's sick. But it's a disease also. Greed, money's behind it. Greed, money, materialistic things. It's all a disease. It's an illusion that so many are just affected and blind. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all the resistance movements, no matter who started them, who joined them, what they're called, what they do, what they say. I don't care. What matters to me is that the spirit, the fighting warrior spirit, is there. The gossiping, you know, now we even got our own Lakota men bashing on the Lakota women for being too loud, but we got too tired of waiting. We got tired of waiting, so we took things into our own hands. Now they want to step up. Good. That's good. We encourage that. We want that. We need that. So, you know, if our actions make anyone angry, so be it. Anger will only make you think. It'll make you think about why you're angry, and hopefully change will come. If not, then you're SOL. But still, we fight for their generations too, as colonized as they are. We have a saying, no CIAs, no colonized Indian asses, no CIAs here. We don't need it. We've had it long enough. Another major goal for this march on June 9th is also empowerment. Empowerment for our own Lakota to hopefully they see that, they see what's happening, so now we have to see it. You know, if everyone on the outside is looking at us and they see what's going on, we need to see it ourselves. So my relatives, you know, I guess my words are to my relatives. It's nothing personal. It's nothing against any certain person. It's against the genocidal hole that's been swallowing our relatives for 109 years. That's what it is. It's about empowerment for our youth to look at alcohol and say, no, I got better things to do. So it's for our future. In the long run, we'll all benefit because our grandchildren will be healthy. No more FAS, no more FAE babies. We got to take an active part in making a positive change too. And if coming and venting your frustration and your anger against White Clay and screaming no more, then come and do it on Saturday. They have to understand that after the march is over, they can't just open up their doors and expect to sell 10,000 more cans of alcohol before midnight. Bullshit. So for my relatives, please come and support. Support your own generation. Support your own people. Let's get rid of this genocidal hole swallowing our people up. And I guess that's all I have to say.
Living with no principles now, shit. So I'll spit from the depths of my soul. This for the powerless, the voice that never gets to be heard. This the return of every native who was silenced and said to be cursed, or worse, said to be burned. But I'd rather be in hell than in heaven with them killers and thieves. This a rebellion, so tell them we coming. They might as well respect it, keep it real while they lying. I ain't trying to sell a record, I ain't trying to die neglecting my purpose. Questions are worthless here. I worked for years to be sure my people's spirit will persevere. So I ain't stopping now until my heart is on the ground. I hold it down to speak the truth. Y'all too afraid to talk about, so here it is. Live and I rep, the pride that I rep is so deep my ancestors come alive when I spit. I'ma fight to the death, cause they ain't never stopped yet. I cop back, I'm only reconciling when they drop dead. Even the blind can see these people dead wrong. I ain't praying for my mouth to cut their heads off. Guess what I learned from them? They not concerned with us. Demand repentance, the hand of vengeance for the murderer. Even the blind can see these people dead wrong. I ain't praying for my mouth to cut their heads off. Guess what I learned from them? They not concerned with us. Demand repentance, the hand of vengeance for the murderers. The odds are stacked against us, so I stay that relentless. Fight to the death and pray the spirit world will grant my entrance. A man of vengeance, I'll be damned if forgiveness flies an eye for an eye this time. That's even if it leaves us blind. See what they did to us, ridiculous this peace shit. For they murdering and raping to them blankets of diseases. Say forgiving them for Jesus. I ain't peaceful by a long shot. They need to pay for what they doing in every way they wronged us. They carnage out of pocket. Only one way to correct that, that's grab them by their faces and shake them until they neck snap. Yeah, fuck diplomacy, I only see one option now. Molotovs throughout their towns until they buildings dropping down. It sounds excessive, I'm relentless in this way of life. My prayers will guide my actions, I'll stay savage till the day I die. This terrorist spit, if you don't know what my heritage is, it's very specific. Native, free from Americanism. Even the blind can see these people dead wrong. I ain't praying for my mouth to cut their heads off. Guess what I learned from them? They not concerned with us. Demand repentance, the hand of vengeance for the murderer. Even the blind can see these people dead wrong. I ain't praying for my mouth to cut their heads off. Guess what I learned from them? They not concerned with us. Demand repentance, the hand of vengeance for the murderers. Fuck the core, I'm at war with they whole fakeness. Have no patience, native or savage, I'll go ape shit over our subjugation. Suffocated by the rules, they right, I lose my mind. Sometimes you fucking right, it's time to choose a side. It's native on this one, I made it my mission to drop them all. Just like the World Trade did, I'll smile as I watch them fall. Unstoppable, a lot of the more than you could comprehend. Fuck their rewards and compliments, knock off the heads of congressmen and any politician. I ain't shaking they dirty hands, you only catch me in they mansions with matches to burn them down. Maybe I'm fucking crazy, but I'm nothing but what they made me. How bad is their disease? Even their priests are fucking babies. No, I won't forgive, not until the skulls are broken into little pieces. To set my people free from hopelessness, hopes within an arm's reach. Coastal shit we char beef, return shells, send them to hell until we're all free. Even the blind can see these people dead wrong. I ain't praying for my mouth to cut their heads off. Guess what I learned from them? They not concerned with us. Demand repentance, the hand of vengeance for the murderer. Even the blind can see these people dead wrong. I ain't praying for my mouth to cut their heads off. Guess what I learned from them? They not concerned with us. Demand repentance, the hand of vengeance for the murderers.
That was Savage Family with Hands of Vengeance. I'd like to take the time to thank Aloha for speaking to me and sharing her thoughts on the white clay issue. If you can come out and support the people of Pine Ridge in their March for Justice on June 9th, please do so. See the webpage for more details. If you cannot, have a look around and start a march against the white clay in your own area. Taking us out is Resident Antihero with Degenerate Soldier. I hear rivers screaming, and I smell the blood of trees on the wind. The resistance needs you. Will you join us?
Haunting your chosen frequency, recently infiltrating your speaker system to secretly leave a piece of me. Living on when I cease to be, exposing mechanisms of the government indecently. You see us camouflaged out with the olive drab green. 30 years in the cycle of fighting machines. Entertainment and free time are things that are lost to me. This is my dark water watchtower prophecy. Music for end of the world type philosophy. I know you hear it coming, I suggest you prepare. Industrial collapse, shell casings in the air. While my bandmate hides in bushes with intentions he can't mention. And a gradual suspension from the species on the whole. Lone gunman hiding on the grassy knoll, waiting for the downward spiral when the wheels no longer roll. And the roving bands of madmen will battle to gain control. Gas mask, worst case scenario. Shallow graves leave behind rock pile burials. Predator drones own the land from the aerial. Good people change and become adversarial. This is the future anti-hero 2012, and we have no idea how deep the rabbit hole will really delve. If you're
your friends are not survivors, well then you should save yourself and abandon the unnecessary vestiges of wealth. Get a weapon and a method to escape and to evade, and the machines will disappear you in preliminary raids. Anti-hero soldiers, you people don't understand. Sheltered from the waves, booby traps in the sand. Burn my body in the sunshine and leave the city to rot. I don't want the plastic lifestyle that you people sold and bought. If that's what being civil means, then I would rather not. Reevaluate the self-destructive doctrines you've been taught.